Hey guys, welcome back to Here's the Deal. This is Marcus.
And this is Reagan. And we're so excited to have our friend, my friend that just got to meet Marcus today, Minister Kurt Buell. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Hi, Reagan. I'm doing well. Thank you guys so much for having me on the show today.
Yes, we're so excited. We're really excited. This is episode two. And this is episode two. This is episode two. Episode two is already here. Yay. I'm so excited. I'm asking that like a question, but I'm saying it like it's just exciting that we're finally here and doing this. I cannot believe it. But we're so excited to have Kurt, and we're so excited to just be able to talk to him today. He is a wonderful musician, arranger. I call him one of gospel music brilliant minds, and he's amazing at what he does. Everything that literally we worked on my last project together, and we're working on this project together. And I'm just so excited to have him here today. And Kurt, I just wanted to ask you, how long have you been playing the keyboard for?
That's an excellent question. And I would like to just start off by thanking you both for having me again on the show. Thank you again for inviting me. And Marcus, it's great to meet you for the first time.
Me too.
Reagan is a blessing in my life, and we have been able to work together on one project, like you said, and it's kind of amazing how we got connected, but I won't take time to explain, but God does all things well, and he does them all on time. So
he moves in the silence.
Yes, he does. So I'm thankful to be with him today and with Marcus, and we're working on some songs for his new project. So to answer your question, though, I have been playing since I was about 6 years old. I'm 26 now, so right around 20 years of playing the piano. That's when I started.
So nice to meet you as well.
Yes.
Where exactly, because I don't know much about you, I'm sure Reagan probably knows the answer to this question, but where did you get your start in music? I've heard that you're like just this phenomenal musician, and I've heard a lot about you, not just from Reagan. Where did you get your start?
Well, thank you for the kind words. I got my start, my parents put me in piano lessons when I was 6 years old. They heard me playing some stuff on some little tunes on the piano that I had heard. And so they asked me, hey, do you want to start in piano lessons? And I said, yes. And I learned quickly that I was going to regret that, regret that answer. But, you know, it all worked out in the end. But I started in piano lessons.
Wow. That's so awesome. So do you have any, of course you play for church and you grew up in the church and stuff like that, but what is your like musical training in the sense mm-hmm. of, do you learn to read music when you were younger, or how did that kind of come about for you?
So my teacher started me with theory and technique and all of that. And I learned how to read music. And I took from the age of 6 to the age of 14. So I had 8 years of classical piano training, and I learned all of the music theory and technique that made it really easy to learn other stuff later on. But we studied things like some Beethoven, and there was some Mozart that we worked on as well. So all of that kind of lended itself to the technicality of being able to play and the prowess of being able to play whatever you wanted to play.
Technique, right, you
know, which is important. So yeah, it was very helpful during that 8 year period, knowing how to do all that and learning how to read music. But I also took band from fourth grade until I was a senior in high school. So I played percussion in the band, and so we read music and did all that kind of stuff, and that was just extra training for me as well. So yeah, it was awesome.
Two questions.
Sure.
How important do you think in the church, because you're a church musician, mm-hmm. how important do you think reading music is, and what is your favorite style of music to play?
Okay. I think it's important, because if you walk into any church, you're bound to see a hymnal or a hymn book, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you open that up, there's notes on a page that you...
There's some dust on there too, maybe.
Probably, you know, they're probably in the back or under the organ or something, right? I think it's helpful to be able to do that. What I teach a lot of my students is I teach them theory and how to read chord charts. So if you see something like a G major or, you know, a C minor 7 or something on a chord chart, they know how to build that and what that means, because that's the kind of stuff that you're going to use regularly in church. You see a lot of chord charts, and occasionally you'll see like some rhythm charts and things. But church musicians, at least the ones that I grew up around and the way I grew up, we used like our ear primarily. A lot of people I know that play, they've never had any formal training, and yet they can play very well. And so while I think it's important and helpful to have that, I don't think it's entirely necessary to know how to read music. As long as you can read a chord chart, so to speak. And of course, by reading music, I mean like lines and notes and all that kind of stuff, you know. But that does, it does have some technical applications too. But again, to answer your question, not the most important thing.
Did you experience like a disconnect between your classical background and then growing up and starting to play in the church and starting to play Christian music, especially like contemporary music, which some mm-hmm. can deem to be boring, or even with gospel? Did you experience like any disconnect like that?
Not at all. I think that that made me more able to do all the stuff that I ended up doing. I think it really helped get me to that point. And so it actually, I think it propelled me further than like the average person because I had a more thorough understanding of music and all the different aspects of it. So I really think it helped me rather than there being a disconnect. You know, obviously there are two different styles of music, you know, but you can enjoy and appreciate multiple styles of music. So mm-hmm. just being able to do all of those things like read music, it made everything else a lot easier to do.
But you were during that time though, there probably wasn't much disconnect because you're in the church playing at that time when you were taking piano lessons. Were you actively playing at church, or when did you start playing full time at your church?
That's a great question. It's funny. We used to have this this thing called the Penny March in our church. It was for the building fund, and all the kids would bring up their pennies and, you know, whatever their mom and dad would give them. And somebody in that church had wrote a song for that. So that's I don't remember how old I was, probably 9 or 10 when they had me play for that every Sunday. So I wasn't playing in church full time until about the age of 15. But from the age of 9, I would like here and there I'd play for some stuff, you know. But that was like my big thing as I want to say 8 or 9 years old, playing for that Penny March. But I started playing when I say full time, I mean like every Sunday full time, air quotes there. When I was about 15 or 16. And then playing like full-time as a full-time ministry person. I did that at the age of 21. That's when I began full-time playing, you know, music ministry and all that.
That's awesome. Obviously we're all about the same age, mm-hmm. and it's just so encouraging to see other people who are our age and who got their start playing or singing yes. at a young age and getting the opportunities to do ministry mm-hmm. at that age. There's so many places where people are still not able to really get engaged in ministry until they're older. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, are, for lack of a better word, kind of stifling their youth and stifling their growth yeah. by not really giving their young people a chance. And we even have people who will come to things at our church and they'll leave and they're like, these things are led by young people. How is this happening?
Yeah.
And so it's so cool to just see that there are other people who are being able to get their start and grow and flourish and become as amazing as you are at what most will consider young.
Can I add to that? I think, too, one of the cool things about our podcast, about the guests that we've had and the guests that we're going to have, is a lot of these people are just regular people. They're just humble. They love God. They want to be used. And they're not about their self,
yeah.
so to speak. They really are in this for the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And one of the things about Kurt that I really appreciate is when I met him, I didn't know he was a big deal, so to speak. And he doesn't act like, oh, I'm Kurt Buell or whatever, and tosses his hair back, you know. But I remember somebody we were working on our project. Mm-hmm. It was before that. It's when you came to my dad's church. And I remember somebody messaged me when you came. I posted a video of you playing in our living room. And somebody was like, oh my goodness, you know Kurt Buell? And I was like, yeah. And I didn't realize the effect that, you know, you've utilized your social media to reach more people. And I was like, well, how do you know him? And they were like, well, I saw him play at this event with the Crab family at Stronger or something like that. I can't remember exactly what the event was. And I was just like blown away. I was like, whoa, I didn't know that. You know, I didn't recognize the gift. Even though I knew you were an amazing musician, you just walk in humility and you're humble. Mm-hmm. So for you, how has, and we're kind of going off our notes here, but how has social media for you as a minister, mm-hmm. how do you kind of navigate using your, 'cause I know you give piano lessons mm-hmm. and I know you do stuff like that. How do you kind of use it to navigate between, you know, being a minister and also being, you know, somebody that works in the industry. How does mm-hmm. that, how do you manage that?
Admittedly, I'm not the best person on like using social media. I wish I either knew how to use it better or used it more often. I'm very active, like on my story and stuff, but Facebook, I have my own page and things. The thing that I do though on social media is I stay in contact with everybody. I'm constantly like replying to people's stories and commenting on their posts and things, and I stay active that way. And I try to promote here and there things that I'm doing, places I'm going, or things like that, you know. And just like the yesterday we were promoting, hey, we're in here working on your new album, you know. But that's how I use it. I used to be really big on Facebook, and I would connect with people on Facebook, and then if they had a platform, they would share something of me on there, and so then people would like quest me and want to follow me and all this crazy stuff, which is awesome. And just when you go to like an event or something and people find out your name, they look you up and you meet them and they request you and stuff. So that particular girl that you're talking about, that's how we met. We met at that event. She became my Facebook friend. And then I guess you guys kind of knew each other or from the same denomination at one point. Yeah. And I knew that that's where she was from. So as soon as I saw her name, I was like, that's how they know each other, you know? But that's how I try to use it. I try to use it for good, you know? But it is very powerful. And so I always tell like my students and stuff, I'm like, you're one viral video away from fame or whatever, you know what I mean? But here's how we use it. We use it for the gospel, right? Yeah. It's such an important tool. And it's what I was gonna say earlier, it connects us to people from all over the world. So if we use it for that, you know, we will have more opportunities to use it like that. So I try to do that. I try not to be someone that is constantly promoting myself. People get so tired of that, right? Yeah. You know, when people are always posting about themselves and their accomplishments and things. And I've learned to like kind of keep a lot of stuff to yourself, but I try to propel, you know, what I see God doing and like encouraging things. You know, if I go somewhere and do an event or something, I want to post about the awesome things that happened there, not about what I did for it, you know, but about what God is doing and about the people who were blessed and, you know, bringing awareness to that. So, you know, yeah, I use it for me, but I use it as a tool to connect people and to connect myself with others. And there's people that I'm friends with and close with on social media that I've never even met in person, you know. In fact, you and I, we knew each other well before we ever met in person, right? So I think it's a very powerful tool. In fact, a lot of my students, I've never met them in person. I met three of them last night, you know, for the first time in person. But I've been teaching one girl since this time last year, right after the pandemic started, you know. So it's crazy. And you develop these relationships and friendships through social media. So it's a different world than what maybe we were used to like 15 years ago, you know? So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. And we're in such a interesting generation where we have all this at our fingertips and we have access to the whole world, right here at our hands. And because of that, we can make, like you said, we can make more connections mm-hmm. and we can build more relationships with people who otherwise we would have never met. And on some spectrums that can be great for opportunity, and on others, which is the main thing, is that, like you said, it's a great opportunity for ministry and a great opportunity mm-hmm. to promote the gospel. And it's one that previous generations didn't have. It's not something we should take for granted mm-hmm. that we have that available to us to be able to promote the gospel around the world in just the matter of a few clicks.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the Apostle Paul had social media? You know what I'm saying? And we can reach more people than he did. He was one of the core builders of the church, right? In the New Testament, he was going all over these countries and preaching and stuff. Can you imagine if we had airplanes and Twitter accounts and Instagram and Facebook and YouTube and podcasts, you know? So if we use it for that, I think God will give us more opportunities. He really wants us to reach the whole world, right? And so that's what I'm trying to do in social media with my stuff. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to add something to that. You asked me yesterday, help me remember. It was something we were talking about social media. About influence. And I told you why I don't get political on social media. You remember that conversation? And the reason is because, and then we can turn it to another point after this, but the reason is because whatever influence I might have, like in the music or the ministry or something, as soon as I tried put that somewhere else, that's going to cause division, right? I lose all of the influence I have in this other lane here, right? So if I'm trying to promote, I don't know, ideals and things that are not in line with like what I'm known for, it's like, would I rather like sacrifice that so I can be political and stir the pot and, you know, or would I rather just have the influence over here where I have more influence than I would ever have in the politics arena,
right?
You know, or anything else, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I don't get on there and like preach at people and tell them you're wrong for this and this and like be calling people out. I would rather use that and build people up. And by doing that, you expand your sphere of influence, which I think is important, you know, but you have to choose ye this day whom you will serve, right?
Yeah, come on.
So are you gonna serve the Lord and use what he's given you, your little platform here? Are you going to use that for him? Or are you going to like berate people because they agree or disagree with this political issue? You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah. And if our goal is to, right, our goal is to reach the whole world. Mm-hmm. So we have this, by having social media, we have this multicultural, this multi-generational influence. And so to take it into lean, and not just in politics, but in anything, to take it into to shift our focus to only the people who already agree with us, only the people who are already on our side. Well, we polarize and then we ostracize all of the people who may not agree with us, but that we had influence over.
Exactly.
And so we lose our opportunity and we lose our witness to those people. Mm-hmm. And it's so important. It's so important to manage our social media in a way where it protects our witness and it protects our influence over people who right now we may not see eye to eye, but the longer we develop a relationship, despite our differences, then the more opportunity that there is to maybe not, our goal isn't to convince people of anything, but we give them an opportunity to see the light through our lives.
Exactly. And if you eliminate half of the people because you say I voted for so-and-so, you know, and if people know me really well, they can probably they might be able to figure out who I voted for and who I like and stuff. But that's not the point here. We're not even worried about the political climate here, because that doesn't really affect the kingdom of God.
Yeah, because we're citizens of heaven.
Amen.
I mean, that's what it is. I think if me and
shout out to Torrin Wells,
praise God, Torrin Wells. I totally forgot about that, but praise God for Torrin. Me and Marcus talk a lot. For those of you that don't know, and if you don't follow me and Marcus on Instagram, once if you do and you see a picture of us, you will notice that Marcus and me are of two different colors, but we are two people that love God. And we started this podcast because we wanted to bring awareness, and not just awareness, but we wanted to show people that you can be different. You can have noticeable differences and you can have internal differences with somebody and still be united. I think for the most part, me and Marcus agree on a lot of things.
We do.
But we have different experience, life
exactly.
experiences.
Our experiences have been different and they've led us to similar points where we do have similar points where we agree, and we have a point. We have points where we disagree.
Right.
But in those disagreements, we've learned how to talk to each other in a way that protects our relationship with each other.
Absolutely.
And again, protects our witness. No one can ever go back and say, oh, I heard those two arguing about this thing that doesn't even matter to the kingdom.
Right. And my thing is, as people, and like you were saying, Kurt, as ministers, you have to stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. And you have to understand that even though 100 views on a video may not seem like a lot, like, oh, people, you know, there's some people on some of the biggest celebrities, if you will, in our world have over hundreds of million followers, you know, and so that's not even a raindrop in the ocean of influence they have. But still, if 100 people see your post, imagine 100 people walking through the store. That's a little overwhelming. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, it's not a big deal online, but if 100 people just walked in through my back door, that's going to be a big deal. We're like, oh, what is everybody? Everybody's seeing everything. You know, when your social media is an invitation to people into your life. Mm-hmm. And if it's like inviting someone to your house. If your house is messy and people, they see everything. You know, and that's kind of like what my mama used to say about she would always compare our lives to a home. And she would say, you know, my mama always was on top of us about keeping our room clean and keeping stuff. And she's like, because you just never know when somebody's going to come by. Mm-hmm. You never know when somebody's going to come say hi. You don't know when you're going to have to throw some brownies in the oven. You know, you just don't know. And that's kind of like our social media should be that way. I feel like there's so many people in the church who feel the need to constantly voice their, whether it's political opinion, their ideologies, whatever it is. And it's like, no. Let's bring it back to the core value of we are Christians. We love God. If you're filled with His Spirit and you have taken on His name, then let's keep the main thing the main thing.
Right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness.
Yes.
Seek that. And in your pursuit of holiness, the Bible says pursue holiness and peace. If you're pursuing holiness, most of the time you're going to pursue peace. Most of the time you're going to have peace because you're living in honesty. You're living in truth. You're not worried about other things. And I think that's the problem is we have all these people that want to constantly diagnose people and say, well, this is what's wrong with you. Mm-hmm. This is what's wrong with you. And it's like, no, like,
well, let's
it's
be
not
honest.
My job to constantly tell and police people. Yeah. It's your job to take responsibility for your actions as a person and say, okay, what am I doing that should bring glory to God?
Yep.
And what am I doing that's going to help bring people to God?
Let's be honest. Social media has convinced a lot of us that our opinions are the most important opinions.
Ooh.
We don't really care about facts anymore.
Right.
We really don't care as much as we say that we do about what the Word of God says, because if we did, we would check ourselves before we ever hit share or before we ever hit post. But we think that our opinion is the most important opinion now. And because it's the most important opinion,
right,
it now has to be posted. We have to tell everybody.
Yes.
We are going to somehow be the one who changes everyone's opinion based on one Facebook post.
Yes.
And that's just not the case. And I'm not here to tell anybody what they can or can't post on their social media. That's between them and their relationship with God. But we've got to have a real come to Jesus with ourselves and say, you know what? This isn't going to change anybody and it's not going to edify anybody.
Yes.
What will change and what will edify is the Word of God.
Yes.
What if that situation you just described, what if people used that for scripture and for for communicating the love of God? What what if we said, hey, my opinion is so important, I have to share this with everybody right now. I have to let everybody know on my Instagram story that Jesus is Lord, that he saves, yes, and that what he did for me. What if we did that?
Yeah, instead? We're sitting on testimonies that we won't post on Facebook, but we'll post about, you know, this person and that person who probably doesn't even know that we exist.
Yeah.
We'll post about this famous person. We'll post about this situation that's going on in the news, but we're sitting on testimonies of what God has done for us. We're sitting on, you know, praise reports that we don't post, because when it comes to those, we say, oh, nobody's going to care about that because it's not going to get likes. It's not going to get interaction.
I'm going to share a testimony with you. The reason I'm sitting in this room with y'all right now is because of how God connected me and Reagan.
Yes.
I was coming down to Dallas for an internship last year. And he offered for me to stay in his home. We'd never met before. Okay. And this internship got me back on track doing music, because I was low. I was not enjoying myself at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, the pandemic hadn't even hit. Yeah.
It was in February.
Oh my gosh. That was the shot in the arm that I needed to kind of like propel me back into things. And had he not been taking lessons from me the year before, and had you not invited me to stay in your home, I wouldn't have done that internship. We wouldn't have done your first record.
Right.
We wouldn't be working on your second record. I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. We would not have the friendship and the relationship that we have.
Right.
And we wouldn't have the collective influence that we have in this whole group of people that love your music.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? So I just want everybody to know that on this podcast, the testimony of what God has done.
Yes.
That's so awesome.
And what God is doing.
Yeah.
Because this is not the end.
Yes.
Right.
This is
an obvious God connection.
Yes.
And when we keep the main thing the main thing, then if we honor God with our life, right, and that includes our in-person life and our internet life, if we honor him with our life, he'll make those connections in our life. He will. Seeking first the kingdom isn't only seeking first the kingdom when we're at church, or seeking first the kingdom just when we're in our prayer closet, but we walk out of there and act any kind of way, or we post and we act any kind of way. Online life and in-person life, if we honor him and we seek him first, then the rest is limitless.
That's so good. It's so good. Bringing it back to a little more music. How many instruments do you play? I know you play piano, but what other instruments? I know you do aux and stuff like that, but you can kind of go into detail on how all that works.
Yeah, as far as just instruments that you can play with your own two hands, I play keyboards, so piano and anything, you know. I really love the Hammond organ. That's my first love. I started, one of the first things I played consistently in church was actually not the piano, it was the drums. And I remember I had never played before, but the drummer didn't show up one Sunday morning when I was like 14. And so I just hopped on there and the rest is history. And so I played the drums in church, and then I play some acoustic guitar. I'm not a virtuoso by any means of those two instruments, the guitar and the drums, but I play those as well. So, but pianos will always be and has always been my favorite.
I feel like I need to step up every time I hear an awesome musician start talking about their getting their start or jumping in wherever. I feel like they always just get started because somebody didn't make it to practice, and they're supposed to be on the drums and they jump on drums. And I feel like I need to learn to jump on the drum stuff.
You have to be instant in season and out of season. Let me tell you something. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, can I just get churchy for a minute?
Go ahead. Come on.
You see opportunities and openings for that kind of stuff. You know, I had to be real bold to just walk up there and say, hey, do you need a drummer? I had never played before, but I had just come back from a youth retreat and it was filled with the Holy Ghost. And
come on.
Walked up there and played. And you know what I mean? Now I understand how that instrument works, and I use that in production and stuff. But when you're in tune with the Holy Ghost, you know, you can identify a need and feel that need. I'm getting farther than we ever thought we were gonna go in this podcast, but you know, you just have to be aware. It makes you aware. I was telling you in the car on the way here, it gives you another awareness that other people don't have. So when there's a need or an opportunity, you can then discern, hey, should I do this?
That's how I felt last Sunday when Joey didn't know that song, and I had already walked off the platform, and Brother McKeek just kept singing it, and I was like, how does Joey not know this song? So I ran back up there, I didn't even take my choir robe, I ran back up, I was like, Joey, can I play this song? Joey's our keyboard player. Shout out to Joey. Love you, man. But I was like, I'm going to play this. And so I said, can I play it? And he was like, sure. And I got, and I started playing it. And they were, his brother McKee was singing, I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I was like, how do y'all not know this song? I'm like, the one person that grew up Church of God in this whole building is the only one that knows how to play it. I'm like, that's crazy. But that's you just, when the opportunities present themselves, take it.
Yep.
Because you just never know.
Yeah. And if someone has something to say about it, well, guess what? The Holy Ghost has the ultimate authority.
Well,
amen.
Now, y'all have already kind of answered this a little bit, but you may have a different answer. What advice would you give to young musicians that want to go to the next level?
Okay. I'm going to take it out of being spiritual because this is a non-spiritual answer. You have, this is what I tell everyone that asks me, how do I go to the next level? And this is what I teach in my lessons primarily, along with other things. But I tell them, you have to listen, listen, listen. In fact, I have a whole 5-step how to learn a song. The first step is listen, listen, listen. You have to listen to music that you want to play like. For me, it was Israel Newbreed. Shout out. That was my thing when I was, you know, even as a young kid, you know, like 8 years old. I remember when my mom first popped that CD in the CD player, you know, that was like my jam and still is. It's a timeless record. But you have to, whatever you want to do, you know, if you want to be an excellent guitar player, find some amazing guitar players and listen to them. You're a collection of all the sounds that you've ever heard. And so if you have not heard something, you can't then play something. You see what I'm saying? So I tell them, whatever you want to play or whoever you want to play like, listen to that style of music. Then sit down at your instrument and try to replicate what you hear. So as far as like going to the next level, that's the non-spiritual part. I also remember asking God to help develop my gift and put me in the path or put others in my path, people who could help me and point me in the right direction, you know, and let me have a mentor. And I've had several great mentors over the years. But you have to ask God for stuff like that, some direction and for the right people, and block the wrong ones who will take advantage of your gift. And then I would ask God, I'd be like, Lord, help me to learn some new chords.
Yeah.
You know, help me to learn how to take what's in the atmosphere and put it into the physical, you know, help me to play whatever everybody's feeling in this moment. Help me to play that and let it resonate with them, you know, but you have to ask God to give you, and that's, again, that's the Holy Spirit, but you just have to ask him to help you and guide you and give you the tools that you need to continue building his kingdom. So, yes, you have to do that as well. You have to pray and ask for direction from the Lord, right?
Amen.
Yep. Kurt didn't ask me to do this, but I'm going to tell you, Kurt is, he is a piano teacher, and he gives lessons. He just launched the Buell Institute of Music.
Yes.
And I take lessons from him, and I will say this. You know, some people in the kingdom of God have a hard time with, when I was younger, growing up, nobody wanted to pay for lessons. They mm-hmm. just wanted everything to be free. But when you invest into yourself, you're investing into the kingdom, you're investing into your ministry. And, when you invest into another ministry, when you sow into another ministry, such as taking piano lessons, the ground that you're sowing into, you're going to reap a harvest of mm-hmm. that. And more than just, I learned to play a couple of chords. I've noticed that the favor that's on your life
mm-hmm.
has, some of that's come on me.
Yes.
And some of the different things that I've noticed about your ministry, I've taken on simply because I have not just like, oh, I'm your friend, but no, I've invested into your ministry. And so I yeah. just want to encourage somebody, if you're on the fence and you need a good piano teacher, reach out to Brother Kurt, and he can help you.
Thank you so much.
Kurt, we have about like 2 more questions that we want to ask
sure.
you.
Sure, I can knock them out real quick.
What is your dream music job?
I always tell people I want to be the MD or the music director for The Voice. I always tell people that's like my dream job.
So cool.
Yeah, or American Idol or something.
Yeah. Yeah,
because you always, they always pan to the band, and you see the one guy with the headphones and
yes.
the top back mic, like Ricky Minor.
Yeah.
You know, he was the American Idol MD for forever. I would do that, or like I would love to just tour. I mean, if we're just talking pure like carnal, what's my dream job? You know, let's just get on a plane and just go all over the world and
yeah.
play music
yeah.
with a group or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? But I would love to like MD for television or something.
Yeah.
You know, my other one is and I've already done it kind of, but like that worship pastor role. I would love, you know, if you had to make it spiritual, I would love to, I don't know. I again, it's kind of like I already been there, done that, and bought the t-shirt, but that's still like my heart is like worship ministry. So, you know, and it doesn't have to be, oh, worship pastor, but if I could travel the world and teach people music and teach them music ministry and how to implement stuff, you know, that'd be great. But I honestly, I'm living my dream job right now, getting to teach and help all these people and getting to travel and help churches and things. So, you know, I'm extremely blessed right now to be where I'm at to do that, because I love to help people. And the lessons that I teach, sometimes we'll learn an Ableton lesson, or sometimes we'll talk about church administration, or we'll talk about whatever. So I'm living my dream job now, which is helping people in music and in ministry.
Me and Marcus have a funny slogan for our podcast. We say, this is, here's the deal with Marcus and Reagan, where everything's churchy. So you can never be too spiritual, too churchy for us.
That's right.
That's what this podcast is about.
I love it. I love it. What's your last question?
What is God speaking to you in this season?
Okay. I'm going to piggyback off my last answer. God is helping me and showing me, you can build my kingdom through music. You can encourage my people through music. And so what God has placed on my heart ever since, and I've taught lessons in music since I was 16, so for the past 10 years, but ever since this pandemic, there has been such a surge of people that have like wanted to invest in themselves, I guess, because they all sit at home with nothing to do. We couldn't go outside for like 2 months, right? But, and I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to give the devil any glory there, but he's shown me, like, you know, if you can just, you know, take care of these few students here, I'll give you some more. And so he did. And so I'm trying to build these people up. My thing, I always tell like my really in tune students, I'm like, I'm trying to pour something into you and kind of like not replicate myself in you, but let you, you know, replicate myself in you.
Yes,
that way you can do the same thing for 30 more people.
Yeah.
You know, if one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. How many can 10,000 put to flight? Or how many can, you know, and it grows. It's exponential. So he's shown me, if you can just invest in some of my people and help them, teach them the same things that were taught to you, they can then become you in that sense, and they can help their church and they can help their own students. And, you know, we all need good music. I would love to have some nuns, you know, because Catholics need good music. You know what I'm saying? I would love this whole world.
Everybody needs good music.
You know, God gave me a vision of that. He was like, you know, just people from all over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Of all different denominations. And because at the end of the day, who wants to walk into any kind of church and there's bad music, you know?
Right.
But really, my heart and my soul, especially right now, is building the kingdom of God through music. And, so, and whatever that looks like, you know, whether that's traveling or sitting at home in my office, you know, and just teaching from on Skype, but really, just being effective in music ministry and teaching others how to do it and letting them then become the seed that's planted in someone else, you know.
That's so good, because we get, I think sometimes as musicians and as worship leaders, we get so stuck into ministering inside of our four walls, right? That's
Absolutely.
where the bulk of our ministry just naturally happens. We're constantly, you know, leading our people in worship, which is a very necessary experience for us. But I appreciate that God is speaking to you, that we can also use our influence with music to reach outside of just our walls and to grow other people in other areas, who can then in turn grow other people in other areas and reach beyond us. And that's something that I think it's not easy for us to get out of the habit of, as far as our tradition of church goes. Kurt, I've really thoroughly enjoyed having you here. This has been,
thank you so much.
Obviously, this is our first meeting, but it's just been nice to get to know you and and hear your heart and hear what God is doing in you.
Thank you.
As we come to a close, I would just like to ask one more question.
Sure, absolutely.
What would you say to a young person right now that might be struggling, that might be hurting, that might be, you know, seeking to go deeper in their walk with God or just to save their walk with God? What would you say to them if you could say one thing?
This is such a good question. The thing that really, really saved me is I found a mentor that like corrected me and helped me and dug me out of a hole. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not afraid to get down in that hole with you, but you have to talk to somebody. You have to share your experience, especially the internal stuff. You have to share that with somebody. You can't hold on to that and bottle that up. You see what I'm saying? You need to talk to somebody, whether it's your pastor or your youth leader or your you know, your music minister or a parent or something. First, you need to talk to somebody, and then you need to find somebody that can put you on the right track. Somebody that will love you and still be like calling you on all of your stuff. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And being like, yeah.
Somebody with veto power in your life.
Like, yes. And what I really love is people. I like people that love me, not because I can do anything for them or because I can play or something. They love me regardless of, you know, they don't even care. It's like, they don't even care that I play music or whatever. They do care, but not in the sense that, oh, like, they respect you, but that doesn't matter when it comes to them trying to help you. Like, I'm not your mentor just because you can play great music. I'm your mentor because I just love who you are and want to see what God can do in your life. So find somebody that can help you and that can guide you and that isn't just into you because of your gift,
right?
You know, but somebody, because if you can develop the person on the inside, not the gift, but if you can develop the person, the gift will then be stewarded well and will grow. But if you're not a good person, and if you don't have your emotions in check and your spiritual life in check, that gift is going to go to waste. So you have to develop the inner man, like B. Slade said, the inner man. Tone A. Yeah, shout out to B. Slade now on Instagram.
Oh, my word. I love that.
You got to develop that inner man and let the Holy Spirit help develop that inner man. So you've got to find somebody that can help, and then obviously pray and read your Bible.
Yes.
Can I get a witness?
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to say that's I know that to be true, because when my dad died, that was the reason why I moved to POK and to KD, was because I knew that Pastor Rob McKee and Sister Sharon McKee had the veto power in my life to say, hey, I don't think you should do that. Hey, I don't think you should buy that house. Hey, I think you should buy this house. Hey, this is what I can help you with. And that is so important. And it seems like it's a common theme on this, is accountability. Accountability is so important. Mm-hmm. Oh, my word.
Yes.
Don't try. I just want to say this, and then we're about to get off here. But please, please, please. You need to get a covering. If you do not have a pastor, if you do not have somebody like that in your life, you need a pastor, you need a mentor, because you need accountability and you need a covering. You're not supposed to make all the decisions for yourself.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be responsible totally for yourself. There are people that God puts in charge and watch of our souls. And I just want to encourage everybody that if you don't have somebody, reach out to the person that you want to be like, and
yes.
And normally that is the person, the people that you feel that you feel that drawing to. I felt a draw to Brother and Sister McKee for many years, and I just came to visit, and I mean, they always reached out to me, and I just feel like now it's like, had I not already made that relationship, had I already not felt that way, I may not be here today. Mm-hmm. I think for that. And Kurt, we're so glad you came on.
Thanks, yes. Kurt.
Yes. Marcus and Reagan, thank you guys so much. Thanks to the tech team,
yes.
The photographer, everybody that contributed to this podcast. Thank you guys. And yes. I appreciate the opportunity to be on here with you.
Where can they follow you on?
My social medias are at Kurt Buell, C-U-R-T, and then B as in Bravo, B-U-E-L-L. So Kurt Buell. That's Facebook. That's Instagram. I deleted Twitter because it was too much politics. Very, very soon, probably by the time you hear this, kurtbuell.com.
Wow.
So, and then you can email. You can I'm email mobile. You can email the Buell Institute at gmail.com for any lesson inquiries, or my personal email, kurtbuell@gmail.com.
Well, thank you again for coming on. And
thank you.
Thanks.
Appreciate
y'all
it.
Y'all follow Kurt.
Yes.
Take some lessons from him.
Yes.
And
there's only a blessing.
And be watching out, because this summer we're going to be releasing a new record, and y'all ain't going to be ready for it.
It's going to be hotter than these temperatures down here in Houston. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something.
My God.
Until then, we'll see you guys later. Bye.